also welcoming the media and our guests. Today, honorable members, because we have 12 candidates, yesterday we interviewed 11. Remember the 12th one withdrew. In the 11 candidates, we finished at 9:30. It means today we'll finish at 10:30. If we spend time like we did yesterday. Today we'll allow members to ask questions for 5 minutes and there is no coming back. There will be no follow-up. And I think to do it properly, while it's a choice of any member, each member, if you want to do question by question, question and answer, like Honorable Van Damme, it's fine, because you are able to follow up as you get answers. But if you want to ask 3 questions, at a time like Honorable Davis, seems to be fine, but there is no follow-up chance. So that's what we are going to do, Honorable Members, today, so that we can rush and leave like we did yesterday. This morning we'll start with, I hope members do have the package. The other thing that I'm reminded by this hand, don't spend 4 minutes asking a question. Because you deny the candidate. Because the candidate must answer question, must market him or herself. So the speaking for 4 minutes or 3 minutes, it's not helpful. Honorable said.
No, Honorable Chair, I'm covered by what you said. That's exactly what I wanted to appeal, because yesterday it was a bit of a challenge. I think you covered me really on that one. But I think as well from your side, you can as well assist if you think we are going back, so that we're able to give them enough time.
So I will stop you. What we want is a response from the member, not what you say in the main for a long time. Because we are going to disadvantage these candidates if we speak for a long time. Please, let's cut it short. Line up your questions properly so that you don't spend a lot of time. We'll call the first candidate for the day. You, in your package, you do have the program. You have the package, remember? You'll have to give us the packages for tomorrow, today, so that you can go through. Overnight, we can go to them. I think you are briefed. What you have to do is to tell us about yourself and why you applied for the post. And you'll have to do that in 5 minutes. And then members will ask questions within all of, combined, your responses and their questions. It will be 5 minutes. So tell us about yourself so that we understand who you are.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Cindy Lakama. I was born in Kanduli, from a Transkei. Teacher by profession. studied teacher's course in Transkei College, moved on to study Bachelor of Arts, Arts in the University of Transkei, moved on to Cape Town a few years later and studied project management in the University of Stellenbosch. I started teaching in 1992. I taught for 7 years in a school called Kunu. What was important in that interaction in the Kunu village was that we're one of those lucky people where when you are busy teaching at school, you just see Tata Mandela walking into your class. As he walks in, you just hear the students saying, "Good morning, Tata." Those were always the moments of treasure. I moved into Cape Town, where I worked on the financial services sector in Old Mutual. After that, the stint in Old Mutual was a good 2 years, 2-3 years. I then moved into a different space. I moved into the IT space, which I worked for three multinationals. I worked for Kijima, I worked for a U.S. company called Cisco, and I worked for a company called T-Systems. Locally, I then had a good time and worked in a company called Kijima AST. Why I'm here is very simple. I believe IT is no longer the lost cousin that sits outside the round table. IT is an enabler of businesses. As an example, if you look at what we see in Facebook, Facebook is even talking about having a TV channel. What's important with that is that you're not going to now sit in front of your TV. You can watch TV, you can watch the information content coming out of a device. The importance of IT for me is the relevance. We need to keep SABC relevant. I'm going to talk about digital terrestrial television because that's what I understand. I understand IT. I am not an expert in media, but I understand technology. Digital terrestrial television will create a scenario where the SABC has got around 16 channels. You can imagine if you have those channels, then you're able to have an outreach. I'm really looking forward to decentralizing SABC. By that I mean if you have those 16 channels, you can actually have a channel for every province. You can have a channel SMKanduli, Transkei. Because my issue is this. Why is it that for me or for a child in Kanduli, on a public platform that is owned by the public, Mark has to go to Johannesburg or to Cape Town to enjoy the fruits of the SABC? If you have decentralized scenario where each province has got a channel, that is going to generate more content and in turn is going to add more users. I'm an end user. SABC. I don't like what I see. SABC is far behind with the other competitors. So it's important that when we decentralize and have these compartments in all the provinces, that in turn is going to create the social aspect, which the Act talks about, the fact that you will now have Engqoba as an example, or Hammanskraal, apho abantu ukuthi bakhona, that will have jobs. You might create actors in those scenarios because there is a SABC availability. By the way, the technology that's sitting in there is also going to help you, Mr. Chair, in ensuring that there's coverage. You're now not going to miss out the news that are sitting in the rural or the rural communities because there is accessibility of the infrastructure of SABC in those towns. One other important aspect around that is the fact that you're now going to have a decentralized communication. If, for instance, there is a platform that needed to be, a message that needs to be sent out by government, because you've got the platforms in all these provinces, you actually be able to disseminate the information into those provinces. If there's a flood, if there's a message that the government wants to send out, is that platform. Lastly, I believe that South Africa needs political education.
Thank you very much. Can we have Honorable Kalako, as the first speaker.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, Mr. Kama.
Morning, sir.
I heard what you are saying, your understanding on the other side. But what is important more than that is the understanding of the act, legislation or laws that govern the operation of SABC. To me, if you can just, not getting into details, just tell me which are those acts, just list them, which govern the SABC.
Thank you, Mr. Kalako. The Broadcasting Act is the first one. You then have the CPIC, which talks about Memorandum of MOI. And then you have the King Fu, which also guides how the members of the board need to act.
Okay, yeah.
The last one is the PFMA.
Then, as we see here, you have said also that you are not a journalist, or you are not in this sector that much. With your experience, your other experience, because we understand. The board is not only for lawyers, or it's only for journalists, or it's only for actors, but it's got other aspects. Can you single out one role of SABC, which as a public broadcaster will suit your other qualifications?
As the board, the act says, the SABC is responsible for strengthening the fiber of the society. I have been a professional sportsman in my past life, and I've been a teacher. My experience in those fields will come in handy in the sense that I do understand the importance of education, and I've actually seen that SABC sometimes 4 a.m. in the morning with a program for education, and I don't understand why is it at that time. So with the DDT and ensuring that you might have a 24-hour education channel, which will make sure that it's adding the times that the students can be able to see.
As you will understand the present problem of the SABC, that is why you are making interviews for the board. What is your stance on the editorial independence in the news and on the interference by stakeholder or by political parties wanting to influence SABC how they must report? Can you just want your views on that, because that's one of the important things.
Thank you for the question. My view is very simple. South Africa is a democratic country. Democracy meant freedom of speech, freedom to report where and whenever South Africa is. So we should not have an interference on the editorial act. There should not be censorship. It is very simple. We need to, news need to be reported as they are. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kalako. Mr. Kama, did you check the disclosure of conflict clause in the Broadcasting Act?
Yes, I did check.
Are you not affected as the person who has applied?
I believe I'm not affected.
What is contained in that section?
What's contained is that we need to disclose if you have a member or you have a company that's working within the broadcasting industry. I'm sure that is just to make sure that there's no corruption in the industry or in the role that I'll be taking.
So you assure us that there is nothing?
I do not have.
Thank you very much, Honorable Teddy.
My name is Mr. Kam. Surely Parliament cannot afford another dissolution of a board in the SABC. If appointed, what is it that you are going to do differently to avoid another dissolution?
The importance of not a dissolution is that everybody within the board, including myself, has to act in accordance to, one, the memorandum of integrity, the MOI. What it means that each and every person, including myself, that we need to act with integrity. There must be no corruption. We need to respect the laws. We need to respect the PFMA processes, especially the procurement process. We need to respect the employees of SABC.
What's your view on this debate going on around the review of the powers and the role of the executive directors of the board? What's your take on it?
The review is necessary. Why is it necessary? Because what has happened in the SABC in the last few years is not palatable. The review has to be done to make sure that people are accountable. What I would also like to see more is the more strength or visibility of the remedial actions. I would like to see more of the fact that when one has regressed around that legally, what can the board do?
What does the digital aspiration mean to the SABC?
Digital migration simply means removing the signals from analog to digital. It means you will have easy accessibility of content. It means you'll have growth in the number of stations that the SABC has got. It means you'll have a better outreach into the entire South Africa.
Your view on the relationship between the SABC and the regulator, what is the current state of affairs, and if appointed a board member, how do you see yourself improving on that relationship?
It also has been amazing to me that there's three, there's MDDA, there's the CASA, and there's the SABC. My view has always been that I do not see the relationship being strong between the three entities, and yet these entities are supposed to be driving the democracy, they're supposed to be driving the data, the content into the people of South Africa. So my intention, as is my strong point, is to ensure that there is a better working relationship between those entities, because without each other, we will not have the product to the people of South Africa.
I'm satisfied.
Just to utilize your minute, Honorable Teddy, the Broadcasting Act is in the process of amended by the committee. What do you think must be done to improve that act? Or if it's correct as it is, it's fine, but if you have issues that you want change in the Act to assist the amendment bill process of the committee?
Thank you for the question. There's two important aspects for me on the Amendment Act. One is that I would like to see a strong legal view for transgression, for people who do not adhere to the governance. I would like to see that strong. Number two, I like the fact that the Amendment Act talks about the rights of the actors, for the lack of a better word, or the performers, the people that bring out the products out of SABC. The Act talks a lot about protecting their rights, such that we're never going to be able to talk about SABC owing lots of money to actors.
Honorable Kumbela.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Tatu Kam. Yes. Under the board charter, clause number 8.2, as the role of the board, one of the things that are articulated there is that the board should give a strategic direction. And then, you know, in management, you've got your operational, your tactical, and strategic. If either you think they have omitted others, or that is the only role of the board, to give only the strategic direction, what's your comment about that, understanding the role of the board?
The role of the board is very important in that the Act talks about building the society. The Act talks about accessibility to each and every channel.
Let me repeat my question quickly. It's to give a strategic direction. In the levels of management, two things are missing there: tactical and operational direction. And I'm saying, do you think the two are deliberately omitted, or who else is supposed to do them?
The technical should not be omitted, especially if you're driving an important aspect into the changes in how businesses operate in South Africa or in the world. So the technical aspect of it is very important on the strategy of the SABC.
Role of the board at a technical level.
At the technical level, the importance of the board is, as an example, selling to a board simply means that you need to understand the strategy of the board. The role of the person or the tech in the board is to make sure that you understand how the direction of the SABC is going on a technical aspect.
There's an area where the board's commitments, I think that one is 7.3.5. It says, amongst the commitment is creation of a financially sound corporation, build on a sustainable business model, and ensure that its assets are used in an effective and efficient way. And my question to you is that, in that area of sound finance or financial state, what challenges do you know are facing SABC currently as we speak?
I understand that from an HR point of view, there's been an overspend because of decisions that were made operationally. If my numbers are right, 29 million was the excess in the number. I also understand that the contract or the engagement that was between SABC and MultiChoice or DSTV has resulted in the fact that SABC buys content back from these channels at a higher rate. So I believe that, I also understand that that contract is coming to an end, which I think SABC would be in a good state to renegotiate, better rates to make sure that those expenses are cut down.
Now having articulated what you've just articulated now, if we are to be a member of the board, what would make us happy? It is you who have to deal with the very situation that you've just explained.
What would make you happy is that I really intend to drive those costs down. I really intend to spearhead that conversation to make sure that the contract is favorable to SABC, not to the competitor.
Last 11
chance. 2 seconds. Thank you very much.
Have five.
Honorable Tolosa.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning.
Gabriela Manga.
If you can please assist me on your knowledge of the sector, if you can speak more on the three-tier system and its importance. Tell us what is the SABC role in that system. I heard you speaking about my digital migration. If you can expand a little bit and tell us whether, with all the difficulties that the SABC is having, what would be your suggestion insofar as the funding model is concerned? And lastly, would you suggest that SABC should be sold out? Thank you, Chair.
I'll start with the last question. Thank you, ma'am. I really don't think SABC should be sold out. I think, as the Board Act talks about the public being the owners of SABC, and there's an outreach on the rural communities that I think it's very key for the SABC. Maybe let me then add on that question, on your digital question, migration. Again, coupling with why I'm saying it's not sold, must not be sold, is that the communities that are out there in South Africa, the far-reach communities, there's no communication, proper communication. I'll give you a simple example. 1991, I was chosen for Olympics, Barcelona 92, for the Olympic Games as a development athlete. I only saw my name the day before the team left for Barcelona, when you see the name coming down on TV. On Monday last week, to show how technology digitalization works, I was playing golf, but I was able to see an hour after this committee sat that I should be sitting here today. So technology has worked. In terms of the funding model, this is something that I've been grappling with my mind as to why it has not been done. The stats that I found in is that 2015 there were 5.1 pay TV clients. Now, SABC has been struggling to collect license fees. I believe if we can be able to talk as SABC to the pay TV owners, DSTV, I think Top TV, I'm not sure if it's the third one. We talk to them, they collect money to me, to almost South Africans, in numbers every month without fail. And it's a similar system in Peak. So I believe that if we can engage with them, by the way, we might not be asking this for free. They might even have a percentage that they can ask, even if it's 1% of what they collect. So imagine 265 multiplied by the number of the pay TV users. That's the first one. The second one on the funding model is, I believe there's off-peak times in advertising. As the Act says, we need to have people that are disadvantaged to be able to engage within the Broadcasting Act and own some of these facets. Can you imagine if we can have SMMEs, even with a department within the government that allows SMMEs on a better rate to be able to advertise on those spaces. That's the second one. The third one for me, again, on the digital, DTT, digital terrestrial television, is that more channels means more content, more accessibility. It means more users. Then, if you've got more users, it means you've got a better platform to advertise. The last one is that by renegotiating the terms that we have with both N7 and MultiChoice, we will save costs. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pachova.
Good morning, Mr. Kama.
Mola Mama.
Welcome to the committee. I don't have much share, more than I want a direct question to Mr. Kama. Can you give us one interesting, unique fact? One interesting, unique fact. Why you want to become a board member?
I want to become a board member for two reasons. In fact, maybe as you said, one unique factor. My understanding of technology as my strength, I believe that it is important to have that person on the board, because if you don't have strength in technology in this day and age, 21st century, SABC will be irrelevant. There's some research that talks about that today, when you fast 6 o'clock, people get home and they sit in front of the couch and the TV is on. The competition is too high. People are watching and then looking on their mobile phone. Some is on different channels. So it's important for SABC to capture even those that are getting away from the television itself. Thank you.
So do you think, in your view, will work? Do you think, in your view, will work the way you display?
I definitely think so, because the other peers are already miles away from us. The other peers have a scenario where you can interact. Gone are the days where people must wait for information. People want to ask for information. People want to schedule the time they want information. They don't want to be all the time given. They want choices. SABC does not give me nor the public a choice.
Do you think SABC does have an eye shot to the youth program, in your view, in your personal view?
It is there, but I think it is very minimal. There is a lot that SABC can do in youth programs. Hence, I was saying, through the TTT, SABC can be afforded an opportunity to really concentrate on developing the society, developing the youth skills. In my early years, the only thing I knew that I could do was either to be a teacher, a policeman, a nurse, or a doctor. I was not that clever to be a doctor, so I ended up doing teaching. However, in this day and age, I think SABC can play a big role in ensuring that information on careers, people can, we know of Caster Semenya in sports who's really making money. That information was not there those days. SABC can play a big role in that.
It should be a good idea to have a youth in a board. I just want to also to say in my final question, what about the disabilities, disabled? people, do you think we must engage them to be part in the board?
The Board Act talks about the entire population, rich or poor, disabled, young, that must be catered for. The youth of this country is very key because these are the leaders of tomorrow. Because the board is comprised of 12 members, I am not sure if we can fit in that number, but there can be a better mechanism of engaging both the disabled and the youth, such that then the board can be able to engage and understand the youth challenges from the youth themselves, not from us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Honorable Fanda.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning, Mr. Kama, and thank you very much for making yourself available. I see in your application that you are nominated by Mr. Wela Lulane, who says he's an ANC Youth League member in the Western Cape and a member in bold, in good standing. What is your relationship with Mr. Lulane?
I know Mr. Lulane from the circles in Cape Town. Since I've been in Cape Town, I know him through friends. There's nothing more, just a friend's relationship.
Did he approach you or did you approach him?
He approached me, madam.
He approached you. He also mentions that you are a shareholder in a company called Promotone. Are you and him both shareholders in the company?
No, he's not a shareholder in my company.
What business is Promotone engaged in?
Promotone is a below-the-line marketing business.
Can you give me a bit more detail about what sort of work it does? Do you have contracts with state entities or contracts with governments? What does Promotone do?
The company is 2 years old. We do corporate clothing. We do marketing. We do adverts. Billboards. We don't have contracts with any of the state entities. We are bidding, as anybody else, into especially the city of Cape Town. My biggest clients are still corporate clients.
Corporate clients. All right, thank you. I've looked at your CV, and my biggest concern, obviously, is that you have neither the qualifications or the experience that the Broadcasting Act requires for board members of the SABC. And I've listened to a little bit about the responses you've given to answers by colleagues, and it seems like you've at least given some thought to the SABC and the challenges facing the SABC. You mentioned that you believe that every single province must have an SABC channel. Each province must have its own TV station, I'm assuming that's what you mean. Now you understand that's obviously going to cost a lot of money, you need infrastructure, you need staff, etc. How do you think the SABC should be able to fund TV stations for every province? How do you improve the SABC's funding model? Please give me a short answer. How do you improve the SABC's finances? How does the SABC get more money?
I think firstly, let me say thanks for the question. The funding, my first point on the question on the funding was around license fees.
So your answer is, in order to fund the SABC, we need to make sure we collect license fees. So your answer for improving the SABC's finances is collect more license fees.
Better, collect them better.
And you think with those license fees, you'd be able to cover the cost that the SABC requires to run?
I think so, ma'am.
How is the SABC's funding model structured? Where does it get most of its funding?
It's advertising, sponsorship, and airtime.
What percentage is TV licenses?
65%.
No. It's a very, very small percentage. It gets the bulk of its funding from advertising. So increasing license fees doesn't really make that much difference in the SABC's bottom line. But thank you very much.
Honourable Davis.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to depart from my usual technique, and I'm going to ask a question at a time. Thank you very much for making yourself available, Mr. Kama. My first question to you is, can you tell us the difference between two key regulators in the sector, one being ICASA and the other being the Broadcasting Complaints Commission of South Africa. What do you think is the key difference between these two bodies, which are both mandated to scrutinize and oversee the SABC?
ICASA and?
The Broadcasting Complaints Authority of South Africa.
ICASA regulates and award licenses, and it makes sure that they are used in accordance to what the grant has been given for. BCCSA is to make sure that the content that's being put out into the market is in accordance to the Board Act.
Okay, thank you. My second question is, some people say that the former chief operating officer of the SABC, Claudie Motsoeneng, did a good job at the SABC. Can you point to anything positive that he did when he was at the SABC?
If I don't have it, is that a thing? I do not have.
That's perfectly acceptable. Thank you. And then my last question is, as my colleague has pointed out, you were nominated to this process by the ANC Youth League. Now, the ANC have a policy of deploying cadres to state institutions. That is established policy of the ANC. Do you believe that if somebody is deployed by the ANC to a state institution, it is their duty to represent the ANC in that institution?
100% no.
If there was no remuneration for board members, then the SABC, would you apply or would you accept nomination?
I have two businesses, a Chisanyama and Google to call 50 on Gooks. You must come and taste the meat. The best meat in town. It's the only place you will find a sausage pizza, nowhere else. Yes.
Don't advertise.
The second is that I've got a marketing business which is coming up well. So I do have a bit of revenue stream, so I would take the job even if there's no remuneration.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mildred.
Thank you. My questions are in the following way. What are the dangers of pay TV, and that is if all of our broadcasting services were to be accessed through paying, what does that danger pose to the to access to information?
It's very simple. Exclusion is a problem.
So why should people be forced to pay TV license? If we want to give them information either way, why is that your emphasis of how you're going to raise funds? Are you not going to exclude a lot of people from access to information?
Yes, there is a bit of risk in that. However, the structure of how SABC raises funds has always been on the license. What I was stressing more is the mechanism of collecting.
No, you are saying we must borrow from DSTV and all of them. Those people switch off the TV if you don't pay. So you are saying we must probably do the same thing. Will that not affect access to information?
It will affect it.
So why must we do it?
What I'm saying rather than you cannot switch off a communication tool that is free to air to the Africans. But I'm saying it is a better way of collecting. I'm not saying they must switch it off.
So they must deny people access to information. Okay. So what changes did the former Minister Mutambi propose to the Broadcasting Act that were criticized as reactionary and wanting to take us back to apartheid era?
Can you repeat the question?
The changes that Minister Mutambi proposed to the Broadcasting Act that were criticized as wanting to turn the SABC into something that it was under apartheid. Do you know them?
I am not aware with them. However, my belief is that the SABC that I saw in the last few months was an SABC that dictated. I mean, the minister wanted to dictate.
You don't know the changes that Minister Mutambi proposed.
Yes, but I saw, but what I saw...
No, you don't. That, it stopped there.
That's
yes. Now, what's your view on 90%
rule? 90%
rule,
from a layman's point of view, it sounded so sweet and so good in the beginning. I actually thought it's the right thing to do. But when, after 90% rule was applied, it showed that the finances of SABC went down. So my assumption is that it was not the right rule to apply.
So what must happen? We must not play local contact to 90%.
We must play local contact, but we must have a balance, because SABC still has to be sustainable on its own by generating funds from that contact.
So what's going to happen? When you sit on the board and they discuss, how do we change 90% rule? What is going to be your view? What is the balance? Break down this balance for us. So people say, let's play local content from music to the stories that we watch to the news. Let's maximize local content. Let's say for now, for productions like music and movies and stories, and it must be to the value of 90% of what we watch. That's what 90% rule is. You are saying that made us lose money. What is going to be your immediate view? Because that's what you have to face in the immediate board. What are you going to do?
I think the first thing is that the 90% for local content, because of what I've discussed here around digital television, is that we're now going to have a more content around localization. That means we'll have more content to be played or content to be viewed by the people of South Africa. Just coupling up with that.
Wait, so you're saying when DTT is implemented, that comes with 90% local content? Yet local content makes us lose money. So where will we get the money to produce the stories and to run the SABC?
Because it's more.
To make a movie, you need money.
Yes.
You need to pay the actors and all of that. You can't get the money if you are losing money in the SABC. They say 90% makes us lose money, therefore, we must not implement 90%. So what are you saying, Chief?
What I'm saying is that there's at the present moment, to produce the numbers that I'm told, an episode of the Seven Generations about 2 years ago was 2.1 million. However, on the local content, these episodes you see on 161, that's magic, they can be done for as low as 31,000 rand. So I'm saying, that's the information I got, that you can have a production for an episode around 31K. So I'm saying, when you have those numbers, that increases the content that we can put in the platform.
Where are you going to get the 31,000 rand to produce an episode if 90% implementation of content makes us lose money, because we're getting the money from advertisers? So where are we going to get the 31,000 rand? That's the question. You can say you don't know.
I'm not really 100% sure and understand the 90% rule. As I said...
So why must you be in the board if you don't understand 90% rule? Last one, Chair.
You're not getting an answer.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Matisha.
Thank you, Moluda. One...
I'm still coming today. To the pry.
Well, thank you.
You have not taken my seconds, I hope. Going through your CV, you don't have qualifications, you don't have experience, but you have an interest in the whole thing. Now, kindly give me other points which will make you a fitting member of the board. Because here we need expertise, we need qualifications, we need experience, and you have neither of those.
I'll just to add on the few that I've mentioned, I think what I also think is important for the embassies to do is to capacitate the institution. I believe and my understanding is that when a Joso come into, or Umzi comes into SABC with a story, and when it gets commissioned, SABC takes the copyright. However, the budget that is given ends up going to white companies because they are the only ones who can produce the stories. So I think it's important for SABC to then build their own infrastructure so that they don't then go to tender for services and also to tender for infrastructure that the producer needs to use. In that sense, it will be saving and also be growing South Africa.
I hope you don't believe in apartheid in reverse. Okay. Look, there are contradictions in what you have raised. To quote you, the exact words that you have said, you said a message sent out by government. That is what SABC has got to do, quote unquote. Okay? Secondly, you said what needs to be done, quote unquote, political education. But then, quote unquote again, later, you said there should be no political interference in individual persons' lives. And those are the three sentences that you put before us. I am saying that there are contradictions. That's the first point. And secondly, you then are putting it to us that a government, whichever or whatever government there may be in the country, must do whatever it wants. Therefore, in my own understanding, no real proper democracy.
Thank you. Those were exact my words. I believe so. Let me clarify this way. By the message, I meant if there is a crisis somewhere along, whether it's malaria, cholera, I was saying it's easy to disseminate that message to the communities. Number two, by political education, I don't necessarily mean the political party with the government of the day. What I mean is, as an example, when South Africa was told the Moody's are coming, they're going to have the rating agencies and all of those things, I'm not sure if somebody understood or understand what that means. So my message is that those are the kind of things that we need to disseminate and communicate to the people of South Africa, not a political stance.
Thank you, Chairperson. I give you the 30 seconds. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Madisha. And thank you very much, Mr. Kama. Here are the members of parliament. You can ask them questions if you like. It's your time now. We're at the end of the interview.
No, I think it's fine. So 250 on Google, so Mr. Ndlovu.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kama. Drive safely to Kukuletu.
Thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
continuously on those decisions. I made sure that they were actually captured in the minutes I did last year as well appear before the ad hoc committee, whereby I testified and was able to provide the minutes that supported the manner in which I was able to stand up to those decisions. So I think that is the reason why I was removed. In summary, is that because I defended and I did not go with the majority view, despite very difficult circumstances. I held my ground, and I think through the recommendations of the ad hoc committee, that proved to be the right route. In terms of when matters really went wrong, as a professional board member, I raised my views. I made sure that they were understood by the majority of board members. Unfortunately, I think that the board, certain components of the board, really had vested interests and pulled those decisions through by virtue of the majority at that point in time. So it's very difficult to remedy the situation because of that approach, that very sort of hostile, abrasive approach within the board. All we could do was be dissenting board members and make sure that is correctly managed. In terms of remedial actions, the best thing that I could do at that point in time was to be a dissenting board member, as is allowed for in the corporate governance code of conduct. In terms of alerting stakeholders, we did, as individual board members, raise issues to the portfolio committee chair at that point in time. I think Honorable Gavin Davis was a member, when we had difficulties as well. He may be aware of some of the situations. We raised them with the Auditor General, with National Treasury, with those governance components. In terms of the broader public, there was a number of leaks to the media. The most specific one was when Mr. Musumeng was actually appointed as the permanent COO. I think if honourable members remember, there was newspaper articles with those board members who voted for and those who were against.
Thank you very much, Rachel, and for making yourself available for the SABC board. If you could do things differently, I think you've had now the advantage of hindsight. If you would do things differently, what would you have done different when you were a board member of the SABC and were all these decisions, illegal decisions being made?
I think given hindsight and the way in which the situation has deteriorated up to now, I was quite good in keeping an audit trail, but going back, I would want to keep a more detailed audit trail. I think I kept detailed audit trails of minutes, but for example, emails whereby issues were elevated to the portfolio committee chair, who sometimes were not always, supported by the entire portfolio committee at the time. I think there could have been an opportunity for us to have maybe even escalated it beyond the portfolio committee at the time, to the possibly the deputy president, the National Assembly, and those stakeholders as well.
Do you feel you spoke up enough, given all the things that were happening? Do you feel you should have been louder and making the public aware of what was happening at the SABC board?
I think at the time I tried to conduct myself within the corporate governance framework and respect protocol, but unfortunately I think the situation at the end of the day, collapsed to such an extent whereby it became a public interest. And only after sort of the leaking to the media and when I was contacted, for comments, then I really commented. But I suppose there could be an opportunity to comment earlier. It's just that also you've got to manage the situation of not leaking board information and not leaking confidential decisions. So I think it was that balance that I was trying to find.
At least those decisions and those decisions that are being done are illegal. Do you not feel that you have a responsibility to make the authorities know of what's happening?
Yes, the authorities in terms of the portfolio committee, for sure. The Auditor General, Treasury, those authorities, for sure.
But if we put you back on the board now, will you kind of do the same thing? Will you stick to the rules, or will you speak out more often, speak out more loudly when you see things happening that shouldn't be happening? Or will you do the same thing?
I think given the crisis that we currently face, as well as the public interest, I think I definitely will have an opportunity to speak out more.
Thank you, Honorable Cook.
Thank you. So the thing I'm not sure about you is your grasp of the policy perspectives in relation to the SABC. So I'm going to tease you on those things. What is your view? For an example, a lot of people say that we should be more pan-African in the ways in which we tell our stories in the SABC. The content that is in the SABC should be more and more pan-African. Entertainment, all the productions, including news coverage. What's your view on that?
Thank you, member. I fully agree, but I think that it needs to be done once we transition to the DTT platform. I think currently, because we have such limited, you know, space availability, it's very difficult to do. I think if one looks at the Broadcasting Act, there's a component of the commercial as well as the public service mandate. I think the Pan-African perspective will really be in the interest of the commercial aspects. For example, we could have a 24-hour channel that focuses on the African diaspora. If you look at South Africa, particularly, we have a number of, you know, foreign migrants that are living here. And I think those are huge audience numbers and are not specifically catered for. So I think if we're able to provide content in their languages as well, over and above our 11 official languages, it can definitely be another revenue stream for the SABC.
Okay, so we must wait for DTT to give, to tell our own stories. I don't understand that. How is DTT going to give us more platform to tell our own stories, which we don't have now?
I think we can start building the content now. I mean, in terms of dedicated channels, specifically.
I think there's no content. There's no Pan-African content.
I think there is, but the SABC can start with enhancing that, definitely, and maybe introducing it in a very systematic manner.
Yeah, explain that systematic manner. Okay, so the direct question here is, the feeling is when you watch South African TV, it's like you're in Europe or you're in America. There is no African content in it. That's why there was a move for 90% rule, which apparently it's blamed for losing money. What is this systematic way in which you would introduce African content?
Okay, for example, I think there would be areas of public interest. For example, recently, the Rwandan elections. I think there was quite a group of Africans that I noticed were very interested to follow the Rwandan elections and of interest in terms of their developmental mandates and how their economy is transitioning. So I think we can cover that through the 24-hour news station, as well as...
We already have a 24-hour news.
Yes, but more, as you say, more African content as opposed to South African content.
Okay. What's the funding model, in your view, that the SABC should adopt to improve its money or revenue?
Okay. I think, you know, for me specifically, I would like to see an overhaul of the licensing system. I think currently the TV license system is a flat rate, very simplistic. If you look at the rates that are levied, there's a uniform rate for dealers, businesses, as well as domestic use. I think that is not really, you know, congruent to the socio-economic situation of the country. For example, you would find that you would have a dealer such as Metro who sells TVs and makes a profit out of that, paying your same annual TV license as a business, for example, a five-star hotel, which is charging perhaps $4,000 a night, which is then having to pay the same TV license that you would have you know, a domestic resident having to pay in Langa, for example. I think they should be a tier system. I would, you know, I would like to propose that we align the license fees in terms of those categories. But if you look at the domestic TV license, I'd also break that up into categories of your rural, urban, and peri-urban, so that you don't have a house.
But majority of hotels will just migrate to DSTV, which they do now. So just leave and just do DSTV.
In terms of the Broadcasting Act, if you have a TV set, you're required to pay a TV license currently.
So the last one is in relation to editorial independence. My mic is one.
Last question.
1 second left.
Yeah. Second. My last question is in relation to editorial independence. What went wrong in relation to editorial independence in the era in which you were a board member?
Thank you, member. From my standing situation, I think we had a problem at that point in time whereby there was too much power vested in certain positions. For example, the CEO position at that particular time, which then, you know, assumed positions that would have been the responsibility of the head of news. That actually restricted the independence of journalists. There was interference in the newsroom through that executive in particular, which is a specific reason why I did not support that appointment. I think it vested with certain individuals as opposed to a policy that was applied. It was by virtue of wrong leadership at executive level, supported by a large component of the board at that time.
Thank
you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable President, Ms. Kalida. Honorable Macho, it's now your turn, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning. Welcome to the committee. As far as I know, the SABC has a vision and a mission. Can you convince this committee what is the most vision related to the youth program?
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think in terms of the vision, as is documented in the Broadcasting Act, is to educate, inform, and entertain. So I think the content that's provided is in relation to audiences. The Broadcasting Act allows for specific programming to target audiences of your youth, your women, etc. In terms of your youth, there would be programs and content provided that would be of interest to them.
Moving towards the vision and mission, there is an error that is not inspire the nation to those visions of the
Absolutely. I think that the SABC has failed to evolve in recent years. You know, if you look at the youth as well, they are very techno-savvy, you know, they keep up to date with trends, and the SABC has not completely evolved to keep up with that. So I think that is where we have lost the specific youth audience. And to be able to ensure that they return to the SABC, we need to provide quality content that would be of interest and compelling to them.
SABC must make any changing to the mission and vision. Is there any changing that's supposed to be changed in SABC?
I don't think there is specifically a need to change the vision and mission. I think as is captured in the Broadcasting Act, as well as the regulations are sufficient, the challenge has been previously that it was not being complied with and implemented.
You want specific any changes? Do you want any changing in SABC personnel?
Yes, I think personally there is definitely a need to change the organization completely. I think in recent years there's been a culture of lawlessness. I think that is definitely the first area that needs to change. We need to be able to take the SABC back to being a law-abiding citizen in terms of compliance with the Broadcasting Act, with the ICASA regulations, the Public Protector Act, as well as the various reports of the Auditor General. I think if you start there by compliance and adherence to those laws and regulations, a lot will be able to fall into place and correct itself.
So if you were selected as the best candidate, you will implement your personal programs in SABC. That's what you said. Are you going to change your personal interest in SABC if you are selected as a candidate?
You mean in terms of content? When you say personal interest.
Thank you very much.
time is up, Honorable Victor.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Ma'am, if you can understand, at some point you said in the SABC board, but with time you were dropped. Can I hear from you whether you are saying there's no recourse as you are embarking in the exercise of interviewing questions for the appointment of the board? Are you suggesting that there is no due course? The board members can be dropped anytime, any soon, by anybody? What can you tell us about that? Secondly, I realize that in your CV you are quite selective insofar as your role is concerned. You have served many boards before us. Can you talk more as a South African, understanding our background, the 1910, whether there was such a policy? If yes, what implications did it have? If no, to the question then, what implications did it have insofar as the CV? Thank you.
Thank you. In terms of the first question, I think there needs to be recourse for board members in terms of the decisions they make. They need to be held accountable in terms of the Broadcasting Act as well as corporate governance. It's unfortunate at the time of our unlawful removal that there was no recourse for those particular board members that unlawfully removed us. There was a legal opinion tabled before the Portfolio Committee as well as Parliament at the time, which specifically indicated that the Broadcasting Act superseded the Companies Act, but that was not really supported by the Portfolio Committee at that time. I think, however, the situation has corrected itself subsequently with the recommendations of the Ad Hoc Committee, which has reconfirmed the precedent taken by the Broadcasting Act. If I look at the proclamation for the SIU, one of the areas of scope of work is to be able to look at the unlawful decisions made by board members previously. So I think that will allow for recourse to be taken against board members who acted unlawfully previously.
I'll give you your minutes, Honorable Dolash, but there is a request that we speak closer to the mic. Remember, this is broadcasted live, so if you can, as much as possible, be audible. Honorable Dolash, is still your time?
No, thank you, Chair. As a follow-up question from what Ms. Kalidas said, is she suggesting that then the then board, to an unlawful decision? This is the conclusion I would want to hear from her as a person. I understand the processes that were followed by the parliament. And if she's appointed as a member of the board by the committee, what contributions will she make in making sure that what happened earlier on doesn't happen again?
Thank you, Honourable Member. In terms of the latter part of the question, ensuring that what happened does not happen again, I think it goes back to the quality and the credibility of the board members that are appointed. Even though we may not all come from similar backgrounds, and hold the same values, I think it's important to be able to engage each other constructively in the board, but when that fails, to be able to escalate it to the next level. If I look at the previous board members, we were all appointed through the Portfolio Committee on Communications, and we were led by the first chair who lied about qualifications. We had a second chair which did not respect the legislation. So it was very difficult conditions at that point in time. So I think when we realize that there's board members that we can't work with, to be able to report their performance to the Portfolio Committee as well as the National Assembly. In terms of the second question around the 1910, if I could move to that, I completely disagree with that approach. I think that the 1910 policy was uninformed. It was not in the best interest of the organization. It eroded the audience base. It eroded your subscription as well as your advertising revenue, it was detrimental to the financial sustainability of the organization. The council regulations prescribe a criteria for your local content. I think we should have complied with that and had a sustainable approach in which we enhance and improve on our local content.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kalter. Honorable
Teddy? Ms. Kalter, surely it's not everything bad that is happening in the SABC. If you were to lead a delegation of the SABC as part of the outreach program, talk about some of the good things that are happening, what would you say? Can you raise the morale of South Africa who has lost hope about this service?
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think one of the requirements of the Broadcasting Act in terms of the public service mandate is to build social cohesion and nation building. So I think there definitely is content that can be produced to be able to enhance that objective. For example, the competitive advantage of the SABC is its ability to produce content in all official 11 languages. So I think we need to be able to use that to our advantage to be able to be more accessible across the country. In terms of our outreach, I think we need to be more engaging. The SABC has in recent years not really listened to the public in its entirety. I think we need to be able to understand what the audience wants,
market
intelligence as well as
just a minute. I'm saying, despite all these things that we're talking about, the SABC, which are not good, surely there are some other positive things happening or that happened in the SABC. So I'm saying, can you just raise the morale of a South African who says the SABC, everything bad is happening in the SABC?
Thank you. I think to raise the morale, one really needs to start from the inside. I think there's very good quality staff that has come through with the SABCA. I think there's quality journalists, and those need to be acknowledged and to be given the correct platform within the organization. And I think if they're supported and given the right, given the right levels within the organization, it will result in quality content and news that will boost the morale in the organization. And if it's boosted in the organization, it will translate to the morale being boosted across the country.
What's your view about this debate going on the need for the review of the powers and the role of the executive director of the board? What do you think?
I fully agree that there should be a review. In my personal opinion, I found that it created quite a bit of difficulty in that the Broadcasting Act in one instance says that the executives are accountable to the board. But in another paragraph, they are members of the board in terms of your 12 plus 3 making your 15 members. So you have issues arising in the board practically whereby the executives would submit, for example, a policy or document to the board for approval that they compiled and would have passed through the executive committee meeting, but then at the board, they are also voting in support of their own documents and policies. So it distorts the voting at board level.
Digital migration, what does it mean to the SABC?
Digital migration is an exciting new opportunity for us to be able to reinvent the SABC as well as to be able to evolve to meet our competitors. There are a number of requirements that need to be fulfilled, which I believe processes are in motion with the Department of Communications. For example, the two channels that are on your DSTV platform of 24-hour news and MCore, those would then revert back to the SABC once we complete the digital migration. There's also the opportunity for us to be able to include new channels as well.
The current status of the relationship, state of affairs, in terms of the relationship between the SABC and the regulator, if you were to be appointed a board member again, what is it that will do to improve on that state of affairs in terms of how the two entities relate to each other?
My understanding is that the relationship has deteriorated due to non-compliance by the SABC. I think if the SABC has to comply with the CASA regulations and rulings, that would restore the relationship as well as credibility of the broadcaster with the CASA. If it came to such a level of criminal charges being levied against the SABC, I think we should never ever repeat that situation. We need to strengthen and enforce our compliance units within the SABC such that we have early detection and prevention mechanisms.
No, thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Kanika. Under the board charter, they speak about a board giving a strategic direction to the SABC. Normally, when you are in your management school, you have spoken about strategy, tactical, operational. But they chose to speak about strategic direction. What would be your view about that, in as far as you think the primary role of the board is supposed to be in SABC?
Thank you. In terms of the Broadcasting Act, the board is charged with the responsibility to lead the organization. So strategy definitely is your core component of that. I think the board is a non-executive board, so that's why it's very important that that role is fulfilled through strategy as well as your oversight in ensuring that that strategy that you set out is complied with on a regular basis.
Could you list what could be one or two strategic tasks the board would be faced with?
I think the immediate task to be able to return the SABC to its former glory is to be able to bring back the audiences. So I think our primary strategy should focus around how that can be achieved in terms of maintaining stability of our audiences and increasing audience numbers. That would in turn be able to attract further advertisers. So I think our strategy should be around revenue generation and enhancement, as well as in terms of your audience, the quality of your content, as well as improving the SABC's reputation.
What would be your comment about the significance of the concept fiduciary in as far as responsible obligations of leading institutions is concerned?
Your fiduciary responsibilities is the relationship of trust, care, and skill with the organization. So I think that's why it's very important when board members carry out their fiduciary responsibilities. It's always in the best interest of the corporation. It's a relationship of trust whereby you're entrusted, you know, through the legislation with the governance and the assets, resources of the organization. So one has to be able to make best decisions carrying out that trust, care, and skill.
In the preamble of the SABC Act, which you will agree with me that the bigger part of the Act is decoding that preamble in sections and clauses. They speak about South African expression, acknowledging the development of the South African expression. Is there a difference between that and Pan-Africanism? Is there a difference between that and Pan-African expression?
In my opinion, yes, I think, you know, first and foremost, I think the South African identity is in relation to our 11 official languages, as well as the culture, religious values of the South African population. And then Pan-African would be in terms of the, you know, the other African countries, as well as citizens which are residing within the country, being able to cater for their needs as well.
A South African expression is not Pan-African expression, necessarily.
Not necessarily. I think different communities, you know, would have different needs and wants and expressions. So I think it can't really generalize. But I think they would be areas of overlap and similarity.
My last question is, in the board's charter, there's a series under the role of the board section about the governance imperative which the board is supposed to be seized with. Can you list two or three governance imperatives under the section role of the board?
In terms of the role of the board, I think, you know, one of the functions is to ensure that there is no conflict of interest in terms of the non-executive members conducting their roles and responsibilities. So I think independence is a core factor of the non-executive board members in terms of ways, in terms of the manner in which they make decisions. I think that's very important. They are responsible, for example, for the financial affairs of the corporation. So that would be to safeguard assets, to be able to manage the financial sustainability of the organization, to be able to ensure that the organization complies with audit requirements. There's a requirement in terms of the Act that you keep separate accounting records of your public service as well as your commercial mandate. So to be able to ensure that that is fulfilled in the organization.
Thank you very much. Honorable Davis.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Ms. Callanan, for making yourself available. You had a very difficult time during your previous tenure on the board, being removed unlawfully and being accused of fraudulent conduct. So we commend you for coming forward to be reappointed because we know that it does carry some significant reputational risks. You mentioned Flavi Moswening and the power that he wielded over the board when he was the COO. But it's not just about the personality of Flavi Moswening. We've seen this problem time and time again, where executive directors wield excessive power over the board members. And essentially you have executive directors dictating to the board what they should do instead of the other way around. Now, you mentioned the potential of revoking the voting rights of executive directors. What other concrete steps would you propose to change the power dynamic on the board so that the directors report to the board and not the other way around?
To commence with, I think it's very important for the MOI to be revised. During my tenure, the MOI was incorrectly revised to be able to take powers that are vested with the board into the executive. So I think that needs to be undone. It also came out through the ad hoc committee, whereby there were various versions of the MOI. One really needs to understand what is the one that's in place and to be able to correct that, to be able to also review the delegations of authority framework such that you are able to, you know, commence by giving the executive only the power that is necessary until such time as you can prove yourself, stabilize the organization, and then you devolve more power into the executive. I think it's also very important that power does not reside with specific individuals, but, for example, like your committees, for example, your executive committee as a collective, as opposed to a specific executive, or CFO. I think it's also very important in terms of the manner in which they are appointed, that the board takes full responsibility for the appointment of all executives. Previously as well, through the MOI, it was incorrectly revised, whereby executives were then appointed by your three GCs without the involvement of the board. The board was only notified, so it's very difficult to hold them accountable.
Thank you. The SABC, as you know, is in the midst of a financial crisis requiring a multi-billion rand bailout. Now, as a former board member and a chartered accountant, you should be very familiar with the SABC's finances. What concrete steps would you take to increase revenue to contain costs without compromising on the SABC's public service mandate?
Thank you. I mentioned, you know, earlier license fees. I think one of the challenges around license fees is the collection. For example, if I look at the prior year, it's about 1.9 billion that is recognized, but then about a billion rand that is then de-recognized. So I think that's a substantial amount. And the reason for that is because of the database as well as the collectability. You would have license fees paid when a team is bought, but subsequently, the audience will not keep up with those license fees. you have postal addresses that are sometimes incorrect. You know, you don't have that follow through in terms of being able to enforce collection. So I would be able, I think I would start off by reviewing the credibility of the database to review the model to ensure that it's more sustainable in the long term. In terms of advertising revenue, just at a quick glance, I found that the rate cards of the SABC versus the competitors, you know, I think are quite outdated. I would make sure that we have the latest audience numbers. We offer incentives to advertisers specifically to draw them back into the SABC. Even though we have our challenges, we still have the largest audience share in the country. So I think it's very important to be able to make those packages attractive to advertisers as well as to sponsors. In terms of cost containment, I look at the key drivers. One of your key cost drivers is your sports rights. I think there's an opportunity to be able to renegotiate some of those contracts so that it's more sustainable for the organization. Your other large cost driver is your payroll costs. You've had, you know, unjustifiable increases over the years. You've had people in incorrect positions. I think your entire payroll needs to be reviewed. It's currently not sustainable to keep up with that significant ballooning payroll cost. There's other significant cost drivers as well that I would review. For example, your agreements with producers. I think there's an opportunity to be able to revise that to make sure that it's value for money.
Thank you. Do I have time for one more question?
Your time is up, but you can.
Thank you. You mentioned a culture of lawlessness at the FABC. Now, when you were on the FABC board, did you ever come across evidence of fraud and corruption? And if so, did you report it to the police, as you are obliged to do in terms of the Prevention and Combating of Corrupt Activities Act?
Not specifically one that I would have picked up. There's mechanisms, for example, you have your internal audit unit within the organization, as well as there was a forensics unit. So through their reporting, they would be able to, you know, investigate, report, and hand over to law enforcement agencies. As the audit committee and board, we had an oversight over that process. There was also the corruption that emanated out of the public protector report that we had oversight of, but not me specifically receiving anything via whistleblower.
Thank you.
One minute. Yes, one. You see, they asked you about one of the positive things coming out of the SABC in relation to boosting the morale of the public. What do you think about your video?
Sorry, about?
Your video.
I don't know what that was.
Oh, your video is a program. Or do you watch SABC 1?
I'm more inclined to watch SABC 3.
You don't know Jovicho? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Rachel. How are you?
Good, yes, sir.
Rachel, I see currently you are serving on two boards, and you know how demanding and what we're trying to fix in the CPC. How will you juggle your time with these others, because you are having two important responsibilities on this board?
Thank you. The one board term ended at the end of July, so I currently have only one active board membership. That board membership is in a very stable organization. The board meetings are approximately 6 a year, so it's not very demanding.
Coming back to that question of local content, in your view, do you agree or disagree that SABC should pursue local content being dominant? If you agree, how must it pursue that, taking into consideration the cost and the lack of money to develop local producers for content?
Integrity Broadcasting Act, there is a specific need to be able to ensure that content is accessible to all South Africans in all 11 languages, and I think that is very much local. I think local content needs to be introduced in a more sustainable manner as opposed to what was done with 90/10. For example, we have production studios at the SABC. Where possible, one can drive down the cost of production by allowing those producers to use our facilities to be able to, I think, negotiate contracts that would attract your audience numbers. That in turn would be able to generate advertising revenue, so it would be self-funded to an extent.
You alluded earlier here on the Tamil, which everybody knows in South Africa, which was happening in the SABC. And when you were asked what actions did you take, did you raise it publicly, did you raise it with any or reported some of the things to court? If I heard you correctly, you said you did raise it to one of the people in the committee, Mr. Davis. If I will correct me.
Just to correct you, it was raised to the chair of the portfolio committee at the time, which was Ms. Joyce Molloy Moroka. I think Mr. Davis, which is the only familiar face that I recognize, who was a part of that committee at that time, would be aware possibly of the situation. But it was directed to the chair of the portfolio committee.
You wrote it to the chair.
With the chair of the portfolio committee, whereby I was able to give context to the challenges that were happening.
Thank you,
sir.
Can you very much. We will break for see now. We'll call the next, and then we'll break after that. We deal with one more. Time is against us. Thank you very much, Ms. Kalida. Do we have any questions to members?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So well. Hope to see you there.